You're listening to Catch and Release, Long Island's Beer and Malt Update. This is the show that answers the questions, what's brewing on Long Island and where to find it. I'm Donovan Hall, and on today's show, as always, we'll be bringing you Long Island beer news, and you'll get reports from the Southampton Beer Dinner, which I attended last week, and a trip out to John Harvard's in Lake Grove. Rich Thatcher joins me to talk about today's featured beer, that's Blue Point's Summer Ale. And we'll round out the show with a trip to Barcade in Brooklyn, where we play Asteroids while drinking beer. Not the safest activity in the world. But first, let me tell you how to contact me. On the web, go to The Beer Hall, that's all one word, TheBeerHall.net. Or, if you can spell my name, you can send me an email at DonovanHall@gmail.com, and that's DonavanHall, all in one word, @gmail.com. Now, this show relies on input from you. We're only a couple of guys, and we have real jobs, and we need you to send us your reports. If you have just visited one of Long Island's brew pubs, then send us an email or an MP3 and tell us what's on tap, tell us how it was, tell us what's new, and what you liked and what you didn't. And have you been to a good beer bar or beer store and spotted something that your fellow Long Island beer enthusiasts would like to know about? Well, speak up. Contact me at thebeerhall.net or send me an email at donovanhall@gmail.com. As always, you can always find current information about Long Island beer and other interesting articles about beer and beer mixology and pub culture at thebeerhall.net. And make sure you read our blog, The Daily Catch. That's where you'll find all this wonderful beer information posted. Now, something else you can do is join the Long Island beer enthusiasts. Rich and I are trying to organize people and get the word out about all the wonderful beer we have on Long Island. And the more we work together, the more good beer we'll have. So hook up with us. We're going to meet once a month and sample and discuss the best beer we can find. So go to thebeerhall.net for more information. The links to the Long Island beer enthusiasts group is on the sidebar of my Long Island beer page. So just click on Long Island and look for Long Island beer enthusiast or Long Island malt enthusiasts. We have a number of items for the Long Island beer calendar today. As always, I encourage you to send me information about your events on Long Island so that I can get them onto the calendar. The better we are at getting information out to beer people, the better we are in supporting beer on Long Island. So, the first thing you can do is attend the Spring Craft Beer Festival, which is happening on the 19th at Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It's on Saturday the 19th. The first session is at 12 noon, runs to 4. The next session is at 6 p.m., runs to 10 p.m. You can go online to springcraftbeerfestival.com and buy your tickets online. They're $45, and at the door it's $55. For the designated driver who's not drinking, it's $10. Also, that same day, the Brewers East End Revival will be having their annual brew-off, and that'll be at the Knights of Columbus Hall in South Neskonset. And if you're supposed to be there, you know you're supposed to be there. So it's the event's not open to the public until after the judging is over. So if you're involved in the judging or the stewarding or something else, then that's what's happening, and be there. The 21st is the beer meeting. That's Monday, at May 21st at 7:30 p.m. at John Harvard's Brew House in Lake Grove. And this is the monthly meeting of the Brewers East End Revival. That's Long Island's craft brewing club. It was established in 1996. They've been encouraging homebrewers on Long Island. And on the 21st, Southampton is having a repeat beer dinner. They're doing their beer dinner again, but this time at Canterbury Ales in Huntington, New York. That's Monday the 21st, running head-to-head with the beer meeting. So if you're not in homebrewing and you want to taste some good beers, head out to the Southampton beer dinner at Canterbury Ales in Huntington. Now, this will feature 6 beers from Southampton along with a 5-course meal, and I think it's probably pretty similar to the meal that I'm reporting on in this episode of Catch and Release. Now it's reserved seating, so you have to buy your tickets in advance. So it's $70 per person. That includes your tax and gratuities, and you can get information on Canterbury Ale's website or call them at 631-549-4404. Or you can just send an email to billy@canterburyales.com. Now, if you don't know what the web address is for Canterbury Ales, you should go to my website, The Beer Hall, all one word, thebeerhall.net, and click on Long Island. Canterbury Ales is listed there, along with a bunch of other fine beer-serving establishments on Long Island. On the 23rd, there's going to be a beer and food tasting at Dex American Restaurant in Rocky Point. That's Wednesday, the 23rd, at 7 p.m. Handcrafted beers will be paired with handcrafted appetizers, and this event will be $30 per person, and you're encouraged to RSVP ahead of time, and you can do that by calling Dex at 631-821-0066. Or just send an email to dex@rockypoint, all one word, at optonline.net. If you don't know how to spell Dex, it's D-E-K-S. So dex@rockypoint@optonline.net. Also on the 23rd, there is a Stone Brewing Company beer and food tasting event at Barbecue in Patchogue. This event is starting, I think, at 6 o'clock, and there's a tasting followed by a beer dinner, which is, I think, a four-course beer dinner. And that is pretty much it for the month of May. So, attend these events. If you have an event for the calendar, please send it to me so I can get it onto the show and onto the website. The Long Island Beer Calendar is also on the website. Just go to thebeerhall.net and click on Long Island. On Thursday, May 10th, I climbed in my car and drove out to Southampton Public House. That's in Southampton, New York, obviously. And it takes me about 45 minutes if I don't run into any traffic. But it took me about an hour that day. There was an accident and some other stuff. I walked in, and there wasn't too many people at the bar. It was about 6 in the evening when I arrived. It was about an hour early. I was hoping to hook up with Spencer Niebuhr, one of the brewers at Southampton Public House. And I was going to get some, I was going to talk to him a bit and hopefully get him on the podcast. I didn't see him, however. So I sat down at the bar and I had a pint with a guy that just happened to be there. He was up visiting from Dallas. And he had never had the Southampton beers before and was there trying them, and we talked for a bit, had a good time, talked to him till about 7 o'clock when the beer dinner started. The beer dinner had, well, I'd say about 40 people in attendance, and it started off in what I think they call McSully's Tavern, which is in the back behind the dining room. It's usually closed off when I go. There's a wooden partition between the two. But what they were doing in McSully's, from 7 to 8, was having the hors d'oeuvres, which was, they called it a beer sampling hour. And my impression of beer sampling hour is that you get samples of beers to try along with your selection of hors d'oeuvres and fine cheeses. And the idea of beer sampling at the public house, it seems, is to give you entire pints of these beers. I did not drink three entire pints during this beer sampling hour, but they did have Secret Ale, the IPA, and the Double White available. I had the Double White, and they had a number of different cheeses available. I tried there was this really nice marbled stout cheddar, the stout marbles with the cheddar, so you get this nice dark lines running through the cheddar, and there's a very lively group of guys there, maybe seven or eight guys, who were friendly enough to notice that I was hanging out on my own. So within the first few minutes of me arriving, they welcomed me into their group, and They immediately informed me that they had started their drinking day around noon, and they were having a really good time, and certainly partaking at the tasting hour quite liberally. So I was thinking to myself, okay, you know, how are these guys going to pace themselves through the dinner? Well, we sat down at around 7, and the first beer was the steam beer. It was paired with the Ruddy Mary oysters, which are essentially raw oysters served in the half shell with tomatoes and other kinds of salsa-like components. And I actually had a steam beer at the bar when I was talking to the guy in Dallas. So I sipped a little bit of that steam beer. I was trying to pace myself because they served an entire glass of steam beer. This wasn't a beer tasting. This was a beer drinking event along with a lot of good food. These were no small 3 or 4 ounce samples of beers. It's the real deal. The second course was a brie wrapped in phyllo dough, served over mesclun greens with walnuts and a raspberry vinaigrette, and that was paired with the Grand Cru. And well, I got a goblet of Grand Cru, and whenever I have a goblet of Grand Cru, I can't leave any of the Grand Cru behind. So that beer I did drink in its entirety, and that was pretty much where I stopped for the beer that evening. I sipped the last two. It was about 9 o'clock at this point. I just finished the Grand Cru, and I thought, I've got to drive home at some point. But everyone else around me was going at it like crazy and finishing up their beers. And one thing I should mention is the seating was group seating. So you sat down at a table with other people and introduced yourself. And so we had even though I was there on my own, had a really good time chit-chatting with the folks that were there. One thing that didn't happen, which I was a little surprised, was nobody talked about the beer or the food or the reasoning behind the different pairings. I thought it would have been kind of interesting to hear from the chef. I suppose I could have asked, but it would have been interesting to hear from the chef what he thought, how they're making these decisions as to how to design a menu around beers. That's a subject that's interesting to me. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that Denise and I have tried to talk about some principles of beer and food pairing on the show. And we'll do more of that in the future also. The main course was a 8-ounce filet, a New York-style sirloin. It had a balsamic demi-glaze. And it was served with fingerling potatoes and sugar snap peas, paired with the Maybach. And the Maybach's a really nice malty German-style lager. In fact, we had gift packs that contained a bottle, a 22-ounce bottle of the Maybach. And I look forward to opening that up on a show, hopefully on one of the upcoming podcasts. The dessert course was a chocolate-covered cheesecake stuffed with strawberries, and it looked really interesting. It was a chocolate crust with a strawberry inside, and the cake, the cheesecake filling, surrounding the strawberry. It was all wrapped up in chocolate, and there was a slab of dark chocolate on top, and a glaze. It was really fancy. It was a fancy presentation. I thought it was very appealing, very very tasty, and it did pair well with the Imperial Porter. And I had paired before something, was it blueberry? Yeah, they had some kind of a blueberry or raspberry sorbet or sorbet. Somebody corrected me once. They said it's not a French word. It's a Scandinavian word. It's sorbet. But anyway, the espresso stout went really well with this raspberry or blueberry. I forget exactly which. These really sweet dishes, dessert dishes, pair really well with the darker beer. So Imperial Porter or espresso stout. They had a 4 and extra stout that night, which unfortunately I didn't get to try. But like I said, I had to drive home at some point, so I was trying to take it easy. I Fortunately, the beer dinner, it ended around, I'd say, 9:30, 9:45. And fortunately, I ran into Spencer afterwards as people were leaving, and I was able to talk to him for a bit and bend his ear about what was going on at Southampton and what their future plans are for the brewery and for the Southampton Bottling Company, the Southampton Ales and Lagers. And hopefully I'll be able to actually get him on the podcast at some point. But that was pretty much the beer tasting evening. If I do it again, and I do look forward to doing it again, but if I do it again, I'm going to try to find a place to stay in Southampton that night, because I felt like I was unable to partake fully, because I knew I had that long car ride ahead of me and was trying to play it safe. So next time I'm going to get a hotel, and or maybe I'll just sleep on the front lawn. No, I won't do that. Last Friday I went over to John Harvard's brew house in Lake Grove, and I drug a whole group of people with me. That's one of the powers of being a beer geek, is you have these strong opinions about where you eat because you want to also drink good beer, and so you end up dragging all these non-beer drinking people along with you to eat at these brew pubs. And that's what I did. I was actually hooking up with a bunch of my writer friends, and only a few of them actually drink beer. So they're gracious about it, though. They humor me, and after our writing group discussions, we go over and I have a pint with those who also enjoy beer, and the rest of them eat their food and watch us enjoy the beer. And I'm sure they're going, oh man, I wish I drank beer too. I can imagine that. At John Harvard's, they had a number of beers on tap. Unfortunately, I missed the double bock. It had just gone off. I did decide to order the cask conditioned ESB because I have to order the cask, have to try the cask. When my mug came out, the server informed me that my mug club membership was coming up. Basically the year has gone by. I can't believe how quickly this year has gone by. It seems like I just went over to John Harvard's and signed up for the mug club. And I was wondering if I should rejoin. In fact, I don't think I will, and it's not because I have anything against the Mug Club. I really have enjoyed my membership this last year. But the mugs are kind of big. They're 22 ounces, and I like to drink lots of different beers rather than large quantities of one beer. So I think I'll unsaddle myself from the mug and go back to drinking out of the glasses and the pints, so I could sample more of the beers and tell you more about the beers I get to sample. The ESB was fruity, slightly tart for some reason. I'm not really sure why. It had a nice it was the right temperature. Had a nice carbonation too. It was everything I expected out of a cask conditioned ale. Although I wouldn't say that it was the best ESB I've ever had out of a cask, it was definitely drinkable. The other beers that they had on, which I would have liked to have tried, were the Munich Dunkel Lager they had, and they also had a Märzen. The Märzen reportedly was very good, as was the Munich Dunkel Lager, and they had a number of other beers on that night as well. As I think the Hopopotamus was on, and they had their usual lineup at John Harvard's. So we had a good time, and I did notice that they had signs up for their happy hour. I wasn't aware that they did $3 pints during their happy hour. So that's from 4 to 7 Monday through Thursdays, and I don't believe they have happy hour prices on Friday. That I should have made a copy of the notice, but it seemed to me that the happy hour was just Monday through Thursday. If that's incorrect, please let me know, and I'll correct that. The other thing is I should have mentioned before that it seems these happy hours are quite popular, and I've been watching the prices of beers on Long Island. if you go during happy hour, it seems that the $3 pint is not uncommon. Out at Southampton Public House, their happy hour, also from 4 to 7, by the way, Monday through Thursday, but their happy hour is actually all night on Friday. So if you show up at 4, you can drink all night Friday at the Southampton Public House for $3 a pint. That's a pretty good deal, because a lot of the places you're paying, even during happy hour, you're still paying $5 a pint. Or in one place, I guess locally, there's a place that does $4 pints for the Blue Point Toasted Lager. But you know, if you're drinking on a budget and the $3 pint's important, then those are a few places you can go to find the $3 pint on Long Island. That's a real bargain. And now we'll be tasting our featured beer. What do we have today, Rich?
Well, we're tasting the Blue Point Summer Ale. Comes in this brown 12-ounce bottle. And pours in the glass.
Very clear.
Very clear.
In fact, if I didn't know better, I would think I was looking at like Budweiser or Coors Light.
Or Miller Lite.
Miller Lite. Yeah. And, well, the big difference is at first in the aroma. It's got a little. Actually, it's sweet. In fact, I thought initially it was had a little bit of a kind of was it vanilla or?
Well, I thought you said it was corn.
Corn. Okay. All right. Corn. Definitely corn. I don't know if they've used corn or not, but whenever I see this color, I think corn. So.
It looks like what we would call the usual. However, right. Just looking at it in the glass, it does have one of the marks of better things. Look at the effervescence on the bottom.
Okay. Yeah.
It's slight, but look at the, I mean, there's streams,
right,
which is a sign of a good beer,
right,
like it would be a good wine if this was...
Or the sign of a dirty glass. Nucleation points for the outgassing, basically.
And for the regular folks, what does that mean?
Basically, if you've got dirt in your glass, you're going to see lots of streams.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. Your nose into the glass has an interesting smell to it, like you smell a little bit of bananas and vanilla.
Yeah, that euphemism for corn.
When I'm not hitting the microphone with it. And the first taste.
Yeah, Rich is doing cheers at the mic.
Nice light taste to it, similar to, as I'd mentioned before, it's definitely supposed to compete with a Sam Adams Summer Ale.
Yeah, I think you're right when you said it was a picnic beer. This is definitely something you can take to the beach with you. It'll thirst your quench. And
thirst your quench. Quench your thirst. And if you spilled a little, no big deal. There's more in the cooler. And
it has a little bit of sweetness to it also. But it's not heavy. It's certainly not heavy at all.
No.
It's got a nice buttery feel.
Yeah, it's lighter than the Sam Adams Summer Ale.
Do you remember about? I mean, I've never actually had the Sam Adams Summer Ale.
That was it's tremendous tastes of coriander and other spices that go into it. I think it's brewed with something called Grains of Paradise.
Oh, you think the Sam Adams Summer Ale is like a Belgian wit? Because what you're describing sounds to me like it's spiced like a Belgian wit.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's really interesting, because one of the other beers I think of for summer beers is actually, and I reviewed this last year for Lend of Hours, the Lens blog,
right?
And my complaint was that it wasn't the summer ale wasn't as light and thirst quenching as a wit, because the wit kind of has that. You know, it doesn't. It finishes dry. It doesn't finish sweet like this does. And in fact, what I was thinking was something that I would reach for would be more like an Allagash Wit or Allagash White, which definitely doesn't have a sweet finish.
No.
But so it'd be interesting to try the Sam Adams. Maybe we can get that on a head-to-head tasting some point this summer. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of opportunities this summer to do a head-to-head tasting.
Does that mean if there's, we have to dump out the loser?
We'd
not go that far.
No, we're beer guys. We don't dump beer out. We respect beer. So, we're going to take you today, as I promised, to Barcade. This was the last stop on our Brooklyn beer tour that we took, which we've been doing over the last 4 weeks now.
That's right.
We kind of broken it up to not to bore you guys with the details of all the beer trip for that one day. But we went to Six Point. We went to Brooklyn Brewery and experienced that. And if you follow the progression of the podcast in the last 4 weeks, and you will know that we went to Spite and Dival last week.
Wow.
And ended up at Barcade, and that was kind of an add-on. You know, we were kind of wandering around, and there it was. You know, across the street. It's not that far from Spite and Dival, actually.
Well, it's a few blocks away.
Yeah. We were looking for the L stop. You know,
for the subway.
Yeah,
to
get back to to get on the subway,
right?
And realized that Barcade was right there and drew us right in.
Yeah, like it was. It was unusual that it was a former mechanic's garage of some sort, that there was no big sign, there was no neon, and trademark of a lot of other bars within the city.
Same thing with Spite and Dival. There was actually no sign at all on Spite and Dival. So.
Yeah, taking a cue from Chumley's.
Right, yeah. If you don't know about it, hey, you weren't meant to be there.
That's right. Well, Barcade was also, it's entrance was recessed from the front
right,
of the street,
yeah.
And they had these logs to sit on in the front. And then as it recessed, you walked into a glass fronted area where there was somebody checking IDs, and
mm-hmm.
I think he checked Mike's, but he didn't check mine. And I was oh come on, please check my ID.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, Mike looks so young. I mean.
But anyway, walking into the place was it was another world.
Yeah. In fact, I noticed, I think we were probably the oldest people in the place.
Yeah.
Different set of folks there. Definitely the younger crowd.
Yeah.
Actually, it was kind of like the Brooklyn Brewery. There was a lot of backwards baseball caps and blue jeans about halfway down the pant.
But no, it wasn't that bad. I mean,
it wasn't that bad at Barcade.
No, Brooklyn was far disappointing in the crowd content, and I was expecting better. I thought there was going to be tours. I thought it was going to be more organized. Got there, and it looked like. A drunk frat party.
We got there late in the day. I mean, we arrived after tour was launched.
Yeah,
so.
And thankfully stopping at Mugg's Ale House for a good dinner.
Oh, that was nice. Mugg's is very affordable too.
Yeah.
So.
But then going to Barcade was, yes, it was a younger crowd than mm-hmm. we are, but, mm-hmm. It certainly brought back a lot of memories with that row and row of old video machines.
Vintage video machines.
Which I'm not good at anymore.
Oh, I know.
And I thought we would, and they're playing lots of hard rock and roll and from the 70s and early 80s, and made me feel right at home. In fact, you couldn't tell from the score on the Asteroids machine that I was at home. It looked like we were, barely getting across the 5,000 mark. When back in our prime, we probably would have rolled that machine into the hundreds and thousands.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But I think possibly it could have been the function of the amount of beer we had up to that point.
Oh, that's right. Let's blame it on 6 points.
That's true. Shane, you're just too high octane, man. We would have scored higher if it wasn't for you. Okay, so I'm gonna play these pre-recorded segments from Barcade, and hope you enjoy that. And it's maybe a little trip down memory lane if you were ever a video gamer.
I'm standing in Barcade right now, and Mike is playing Asteroids. I'm drinking a Ramstein Maybach. It's brewed in New Jersey. It's only a $5 pint. Not too bad. This whole place is, kind of has the, you know, it's a painted brick interior, kind of boxy. Lots, you know, semi-loud music, and the lining the walls are all these 1980s-style arcade machines. You know, there's Asteroid, Rampage, Berserk, Centipede, you know, Pac-Man, Tron, all those things we played when we were like, 12, 13 years old, and there's a bunch of stuff. In fact, I see Galaga over there, which is one of the games I used to play when I was a kid. I'm looking for Scramble, actually. Scramble is my favorite arcade game. This is like one of those nostalgia places that cater to people that grew up in the 80s. Playing, I don't recognize the music, but I guess it's probably, 80s music. Maybe not. But basically, if you like video games, you like beer, this is the place to be. It's just a stone's throw from Spiedendievel. So if you go to Spiedendievel and you like Pac-Man, this is your place. Mike is playing Asteroids at the moment, and he's scored 1,880 points and been destroyed 3 times. So,
sorry about that.
So, how'd it go, Mike? It's been a while since you've done this, obviously.
Hey, my first score was 6,700. Second score was 1,800. It's actually been 1982, probably, last time I played it.
So you were an early adopter for Asteroids.
Yeah. No, I mean, I played it when it first came out in 1981, and thoroughly enjoyed it then. Probably wasted about $100 that year playing the game.
Have you ever tried to play after drinking lots of beer?
No. I was pre-beer age while I was playing this game.
Do you think 1,880 points is good after this many beers?
No, it's very bad. The 6,700 I was proud of.
Yeah. Do you think this
I
might be
10,000 to make me proud tonight?
Do you think this is a good drunk test?
No. You know what? This game has this this floating, shifting aspect to it that can be played very well, I think, when you're drunk. You just have to be able to float with it. As long as you're hitting the thrust button and floating, you can be drunk and play this game.
Okay. It's Asteroids, folks.
Next week on Catch and Release, we will be taking you to the Blind Tiger. That's a beer bar, a fairly reopened, renewed beer bar in Manhattan. And we'll give you the whole experience and a little bit of the story. That's next week on Catch and Release. And yes, you're right. This podcast used to be called The Daily Catch. I swapped the names around on the blog and the podcast to, I guess, be more clear as to the frequency. The blog is definitely a daily blog, so I decided, well, that makes more sense to call that The Daily Catch, since I post daily on the blog. And this is once in a week, so Catch and Release makes sense, so those are switching around. And so from here on out, it's Catch and Release. That's all for Catch and Release. I'm Donovan Hall, and you can contact me by using the links on my website at donovanhall.net or thebeerhall.net, all one word. You can send me an email at donovanhall@gmail.com. Catch and Release is a production of Angler Radio, and the theme music was composed by Jonah Dempsey, and you can listen to more of his music at revolutionvoid.com. Now you have a great day, and thanks for listening, and remember, drink the beer in the glass.